Hello, welcome to the big show. Yeah, Sick Note's back. Sorry. I've had a few weeks away. Thanks to everyone who sent me lovely messages. That's really kind. It was horrible. I didn't have the use of my legs for 2 weeks. That was a bit shocking. And then just over a week in hospital. And then I got a miracle drug called diazepam. And I could walk instantly, literally within an hour of having it. I was up walking. So thank you to all the doctors and nurses at Ward 1 of Hartley's Hospital as well, because they were really brilliant. And thanks to Jeff, man. Dude, you were awesome.
Just diving in. I've got your back.
Patrice sorting out all the technical issues to make sure that Jeff could stream full bore.
Mm-hmm.
And you hosting the shows. And Muller's worked out how to play with the sick icons, but that doesn't come out on the feed, fortunately. Stop dicking around.
If it wasn't for Patrice, the shows wouldn't have happened while you were gone. So
exactly. No,
thank you, Patrice, for having my back.
But we just put, diazepam is awesome in the chat room. I'm going to get a t-shirt with that on for the bash. Diazepam is awesome. Joining me, fantastic bunch, absolutely stellar bunch. Top left, Granty Boy, how you doing, mate?
I'm doing fine. First day in an office for a long, long time. We've moved our office in the centre of Leeds and had to go over to build some hardware. So I've been building this disk array. 720 terabytes, anyone? 64/12 terabytes.
Yeah, now you put a picture of that in, dude, and it looked a bit of a monster, mate.
It's 4UD, so yeah. So it's 100 kilos.
Christ.
I'm glad I'm not doing the taking it to customer site and fitting it in. I am definitely going to learn. It's a big beastie. And geez, does it make a noise when you fire it up. There's fans coming out of the wazoo on it. Because all it is, it's what's called a JBOD. So it's basically just a big box of disks.
So I'm guessing if it's 720, is it 12 terabytes then or something, the multiplier? Yeah.
12 terabyte disks, mm-hmm. I rammed up the wazoo of that particular machine. It's made by Western Digital. It's HSGT.
I do like their drives. I have to say, I've stuck with Western Digital for probably about the last 6 or 7 years, and I've had no real issues at all. It's been really
we've got three or four of these things in different customer sites and our own.
Go on,
and they're excellent. It's the only thing is a bit primitive.
We've only got
there's no pretty GUI term. You've got to go and type. You've got to talk to it in SCSI. Which I'm not looking forward to tomorrow, but never mind.
So go on, it'll shock us all. What's the price?
I don't know, to be honest. I don't do that bit of the work. I keep out of it. It's more than 1,000. Less than a million.
Well, I mean, you couldn't. 1,000 wouldn't get you 12 terabyte drives enough to cover that amount anyway. Buying them off Sam.
It's probably 20, 30 grand's worth. Jeez. I guess.
Nice. Cool. And one goes down, is it RAID 5?
Kind of find out. It's kind of thing.
It's mirrored.
Mirrored. 25 grand.
Yeah, sounds about right.
I've just found the...
25 Gs. Wow.
Yeah.
£1 million, pounds, says Muller in the chat room. He could have said that on the podcast, but never mind.
There we go.
Next to him, the star host, Jeffrey. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing great, and Ewan, I am so happy to see you.
Thanks, man. It's good to be back.
It's really great to have you back.
I was saying I said in the green room, I'm absolutely bushed. I'm really knackered tonight. But as soon as the first person dialed in, it was like, yes, get in, even though it was Muller. I'm glad you're safe as well this week, mate. That was all a bit of a shock, wasn't it? The guns and stuff.
That was really crazy. Yeah, the grocery store is 10 minutes from me. And so I could hear all the sirens and I could hear the helicopters, but I was far enough away that I was as safe as you can be. And then as all of that was going down, then we had an alert go out for where I am. To stay inside, to shelter in place, because they had a man with a gun who was barricaded two blocks from me, and they had to deal with that too. Totally unrelated to the grocery store mass shooting.
But he was barricaded with a gun to protect himself, I guess, from the guy potentially, or not.
No, he was just messed up.
No, okay.
Yeah. So, but anyhow, I'm okay, and things around here are a little surreal right now because everyone knows someone that was directly impacted in some way by this.
Well, there's only 10 that live there regularly. The rest of them are all seasonal skiers, aren't they? So,
yeah, and students. Yeah, students, seasonal yeah. students.
Next name, Patrice. How you doing, Mrs.? Hey.
yeah, okay. It's always good to, and it's Thursday.
It's Thursday, mate. Only one day left.
I was kind of thinking earlier, I was like, why is it not Friday?
Because it's still Thursday. It's,
yeah, it's true.
and to compound it all, Europe does clock changes this weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to hate it. I mean, I'm already kind of grumpy all week, and I'm going to be grumpy for the next 4 weeks. So,
you can't yay. Get jet lag from a one-hour change.
I don't know what it is. Like, if I travel, I barely get jet lag at all. But yeah, this one-hour change just messes me up for weeks.
One less hour in bed, though, as well. This is the worst one, isn't it? Spring forward. Jeffrey, have you done it yet? Did you do it last week?
Yes, and actually, I had to pick a cool thing that was a time zone converter, because otherwise I would not have started the shows at the right time.
Excellent. And last but by no means least, the man who keeps all the bookings together and keeps everyone turning up when I'm not here, Muller Boy, how you doing?
Yeah, even I turned up.
Yeah, no, picking up the slack, mate. Thank you very much. Do appreciate that. How you been?
Well, since you've last been on, I've had my vaccine, or at least the first dose, and I've got the second one coming up.
Did it knock you about, mate?
It did. I was ill for about 24 hours. I was really, really bad. I haven't been cycling since the first day I've cycled since the 19th, which was the day after my vaccine. Today was the first day I cycled. I felt really lethargic, but better than dying, I suppose, hey?
Well, yeah, no, someone said to me, how did you deal with the vaccine? I was like, oh, I'm on so many drugs, mate. One day just blurs into the next, no clue. Did it hurt?
You didn't even notice.
It may have done. Were you ill? I might have been.
I couldn't sleep on the night. All my joints were aching, and then, of course, the next day...
No, that's just because you're old.
Well, there is that, but it compounded it then.
Yeah.
No. I should be one of your Lego figures. I'd have been all right, wouldn't I? Mind you, I'd have probably been trod on.
Yeah, I just carried around by the cat.
All right.
We've got a picture here of Granty's... of Granty's... Oh, it hasn't come up. No preview available, but that's the price. £25,079.44. What the bloody hell is £79? The £79 I could live with, but the 44 pence, come on.
Yeah, I know, it's ridiculous.
Is that the fuse that's in the back of it or something? And they're just like, get over.
It's ridiculous.
It is.
Completely silly.
Mind you, Scuzzy, there's a lot of people who'd fall in love with that. Old Doc, Dr. Happy Mac, he used to love Scuzzy.
Oh, yeah.
Just don't forget the Terminator.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's from a million.
You have to make sure you have the right Terminator.
Yeah, it's all different now. We don't have all that.
Don't worry, he'll be back.
The big week in tech, all the massive stories that have happened. Who's going to start us off, please, in the chat room? That'd be good.
Who's going to be ahead of me?
Who's the fastest finger? It's going to be Ian again. So, facial recognition beats the COVID mask challenge.
Bastard.
Yes.
Got a backup story there.
Yeah, go on in.
A backup, yeah. No, this looked interesting. Now, I'm starting to get improving the algorithms used by the facial rec. And things like Disneyland, Disney World, rather, I should say, but we were talking about earlier, but the right one, are going to start using it to try and help cut down on queue times, because they can now, if they've got facial rec, it becomes easier for them to get through. And you reckon it's 99% accurate, so they can, it basically hashes your image into a code that they then use to allow you through. So, I mean, it sounds really great. Because that's all the thing I was beginning to wonder is about how they're going to manage this now, because my phone can't cope with the idea when I've got a mask on. That drives me pots, you know, every time you go through in the supermarket, and then you've got to unlock it with your buttons, because you have a passcode, because it doesn't recognise me anymore. He probably doesn't recognise me anymore with his great big beard either, but, you know, it's... but just the general thing, you know, it's the... It's interesting how this technology's come along from what we... From originally where even a proper good dead-on picture of someone that would struggle to recognise.
Yeah, I mean, I've...
And now, to a point where it's actually becoming... I don't think we talked about it another week, didn't we? It's becoming more accurate. Becoming more reliable.
Well, I tend to put it on and I put it over my nose if I'm outside. But then when I go in somewhere to stop my glasses misting up, I end up putting it just kind of as close to covering my nostrils as I can so that I feel like I've pinched it and I'm not breathing out, but it doesn't blow it up into my glasses. And I've noticed if I cut off sort of here underneath my nose, then Apple the iPhone has started occasionally picking me up as accurate. But what was interesting was yesterday I was out on site doing a site survey, and I put on some over goggles, just UVX safety protective over goggles, over the top of my current glasses. The iPhone just wouldn't do it. Not interested at all. No face mask or anything. I just had UVX protective glasses, like goggles on, and iPhone was not happy. We're not interested in the slightest. So I think there's something between the kind of proportions of forehead, eyes, and down to the tip of your nose that makes up, you know, maybe 60% of the, okay, open it.
I bet those goggles are also distorting the beams that the iPhone's sending at your face to have you.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Infrared.
Be distance as well, wouldn't it?
Thank you, the infrared.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, the big difference is also, like, if you do face recognition on a, like, on a video, like, on surveillance, you have way more time to do it. Like, with a phone, you expect it to unlock within, well, a second, ideally.
Oh, it's fast. If it works,
if you're walking somewhere down this, like, I don't know, down a hallway or whatever, the camera actually has a decent amount of time to detect you. So it can take even multiple images and compare them and whatever, like... I think there's a big difference in that. And I mean, I know that I think you can, like, they can detect you with, like, based on your ear shape and stuff like that. So I'm not surprised that the mask really doesn't do anything.
I think, I remember, didn't we talk about something on the show years, it might have been a year or two ago, where they were saying that gaits of people walking are actually like fingerprints. They're that individual.
Mm-hmm.
And the cameras could detect that the gait was fractionally different between two people. Yeah.
Wasn't that a Mission Impossible thing as well?
No, I think we talked about it. It was one of the stories that someone brought. Mm. Probably Grant. And and it was the gait was that. And I've got a friend who works for a firm who does facial recognition cameras, and their stuff is unbelievable. They can put it in a bar... and they've tested it where someone walks in, orders a set of drinks at a till, the camera knows it's pointing at the customer that's ordering the drinks, and then the till recognises the order, and the camera can actually associate that till order with that person. And if the person comes up and says, same again, the barman just instantly has what they got last time.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. But they can't get it. They can't get it to be used because of the fact the use of it is not for criminal purposes. It's not to avert the processes of crime or anything like that. And the data retention stuff's just manic.
Yeah, because I brought that story a couple of weeks ago about the supermarket chain that are using facial rec to prevent sort of theft.
Yeah.
We were debating about that, about how was that a good idea? And could they actually recognise anybody, given we're all wearing masks now when we go into the supermarket anyway? Which works if I've got my hat on and I use one of these ones you pull up. It's a snood thing. I just put it up over my nose kind of thing when I go in. And if I've got my dark glasses on, I look like a bloody bank robber. You think, I'm starting to worry. I mean, I don't live anywhere where people have guns at least, so it's not quite as bad as all that. But, you know, but you walk in and you're kind of like, I think I'm a bank robber. This is not taking my hat off, so I'm not quite so bad.
Yeah. The other difference is if, like, Disney, for example, is using it, Disney doesn't have to know it's you. It just has to differentiate you from someone else.
Yeah. No, but if you scan
at
features...
At any given point of time, there is, a finite amount of people in the park. So
GDPR,
as long as it's good enough.
Disneyland doesn't apply because it doesn't apply to GDPR. But GDPR is talking about identifiable individuals, and you can identify an individual by features, or you can identify them by circumstance as well. So the fact that you've associated a set of drinks to that person, you've still associated them with that, so they are identifiable. You may not know their name, you may not see them again in your pub, but you are holding identifiable data there. We've had issues with our camera system because someone says, well, I know who's driving that forklift truck, I know who's driving that excavator, therefore that's an identifiable individual. And actually, if you read the letter of the law, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but my point was more not about storing it, but about that the system that Disney uses doesn't have to be so, like, really good. Like, it just has to differentiate, like, you from Mueller, for example.
Hey.
Yeah, but the problem is then it has
doesn't
got.
It doesn't need to know it's you, and it just needs to know it's not Mueller.
But it doesn't matter.
That's the important thing, to know that we're not Mueller.
That's the title of the show, isn't it? Thank God I'm not Mueller.
The Disney World says, I mean, it kind of implies that it is literally, I think, that it'll take a picture of you, it hashes the picture of you, and it comes up with a code. And that's as complicated as it is, and that code is then linked to your emission. So as long as the phone code then hashes up again and generates the same hash.
But you're going to get into trouble if you then turn back up at the park and a fresh record is not created with your entry. If they look at it and go, oh, welcome back, Mr. Rankin. That's a deep shit. That is definitely a breach of privacy. In the UK, it would be anyway. No question.
US. I mean, what is it? Is that
the US, mate. Homeland Security have got everything. They've got a swab from my arsehole, and they've got my thumbprint and every other fingerprint and a sample of my breath.
That must have been a fun party.
Well, you got a name. My name Rankin, right? That every time I get stopped constantly. Muller, can you go on mute? For God's sake, man. Muller, you know you can go on mute, right? If you're going to clank around and do shit.
So what's up with this? Muller, you were so well behaved when I was running the
show. It's because I'm back.
Yeah, it's true.
It's just because I'm back. Bastard. Go on mute, mate, if you're going to clank around. My name's Rankin, and I don't know what it is with Americans, but they look at that and they seem to think it's an Arabic name because I get stopped bloody every time.
Big me, every time I go through, I almost always get felt up in every airport. I guarantee I'll get stopped, my bag searched. I guarantee every time I go through the airport.
You know,
with or without my beard.
Until I went through the whole process of getting my express travel card, it's been so long since I've flown, I forget what it's called.
Global entry.
Yeah. Once I got that, then it's been just so easy for me to fly. Prior to getting that, every single time I would go through security at an airport, they would go through my bag. Just every single time.
Yeah, well, you're gamay, aren't you, That's you're a little bit exotic.
Yeah, that's true. They don't know how to pronounce gamut. So that's, in the United States, that's enough to get you stopped and searched.
They're like, oh, he's French.
He's French. He's got to be a terrorist.
Yeah. I clearly act so French.
I bet he knows that bloke Charlie Hebdo.
Yeah. Charlie and me, we're like this. This is me.
Marie got stopped coming back from Dublin. We came back from the US via Dublin because obviously it's a good way to fly because all the checks are done in Dublin. Yep. And then the wife got, we got separated. She went off ahead of me and she got stopped by by special branch. And I recognised them all because I used to work with them. And I was going
to Birmingham Airport, of course.
Oh, yeah, straight through there. And they pulled her over for an interview and I go, that's me missus. And I'm going, all right, Steve, you sure? Yeah. Why is she flying on a maiden name? Because we don't just got married, so she hadn't had time to change it. So she was flying on a maiden name.
That's where she's looking at you pleadingly and you go, don't know her, never seen her before.
Yeah, I
know
that now.
I have no idea who this woman is. Clap her irons instantly.
We're still in the first blushes of marriage, so...
There was likelihood of sex, so you had to be behave. But no more.
Oh, those halcyon days.
Ewan, I'm just waiting for work to install a chip under my skin so that they can track me on site. I don't know if that's real or not. Just Batwinch.
The scary thing is there are companies, at least in the United States, that are doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Given I know where she works, I wouldn't be surprised.
Batwinch has put tucked the top of your glasses under the bottom of your frames and it stops them fogging. No, it doesn't. I can honestly say
I've tried that.
Doesn't work. Not on my shaped face or my shaped glasses, so I'm afraid not. Jeffrey, your story, mate.
My story.
Discord.
Microsoft wants to buy Discord.
Right. And at $10 billion valuation.
Yeah, well, they either think that there's enough value in Discord, or they think there's enough value in keeping other people from having Discord.
Well, it's big with the kids.
Well, Discord started as a chat service for gamers.
That's mm-hmm. right, and it's still being used massively. That my kids are on it, so
yeah, And it has grown since then. I mean, there are lots of chat groups that run just on Discord, you know, similar to what you have on Slack, but it's Discord. And and there's a lot that you can do as a gamer who wants to share your gaming in real time. So I could see where that could be enticing for Microsoft as well. My big concern with Discord, if Microsoft buys it, is are they going to care for it in the same way that they have cared for Skype?
Yeah, so Discord is going to get worse with every iteration.
Right.
That would be the worry, wouldn't it?
Which would be too bad, because
I got to say, because we had a little dabble, didn't we, with using Discord on the network. We tried to use Skype.
I remember once doing
and I quite liked it because it synced the voice and the video. Whereas Skype, we had a lot of problems before we used the direct feeds. We had a lot of problems with Skype lagging quite heavily with the voice to speech, but. Mm-hmm. It dealt with that well, but the only problem was the way that it dealt with it well was to make the video a bit shitty. So,
yep, it's one way of doing it.
I didn't like it for that.
But if you're doing an audio only show, oh man, the audio quality is top notch. Yeah.
Wait, I mean, I haven't done a deconstructing forever, like 2 years at least. But before that, we used Discord to record our sessions. I had even automatic recordings. Like I had a little bot in the channel. It would automatically record the entire podcast. I didn't even have to do anything.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's a really cool service. And I know a lot of people that rely on it more heavily than Slack.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say I use it more than Slack right now.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, if we use... Because people tend to, I mean, I see a lot of things where if you're looking a bit to software or anything that's in development, they'll say, oh, join our Discord, come chat to us about it, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that's very much a thing now. I mean, someone in the chat room just said, if we have amazing product in Teams, is the reason they're buying it just to shut the other one down, move everyone over to Teams?
Teams is a bag of shite.
Yeah.
Teams is all right. I mean, have you seen, though? I mean, in the UK, currently we've got adverts running. For Teams.
Oh, Teams.
The guys from whoever does Monopoly, whichever games company that is, MB? Or whichever one it is. Whichever one does Monopoly.
Anyway, oh, yeah, the games, board games, yeah, I've seen that. And he said we do a lot of testing, and now we do it over Teams, and it's just amazing. Yeah, yeah. We'll probably never go back.
Yes. All of that. So, yeah, that's just a sort of... They're heavily wedded into Teams at the moment. I mean, it seems to be the de facto thing to talk to customers for these days.
We get, I mean, there's a lot of corporates that I have meetings with online, and it's anyone that says, can we have a Zoom call? It's like, yes, absolutely, because all of my keynote presentations play, videos play properly, you can do screen sharing dead easy, it functions, it's real time, it just works. Teams, God, What a bag of shite. Cannot play videos, won't play a keynote, doesn't use virtual cameras, won't recognise my Evo 4 sound card. There's just so much crap with it. There's too many hurdles for it to be classed as a viable platform as an alternative to Zoom. Zoom just works. They had that bit where they didn't do virtual cameras for a while, but now they do virtual cameras. It's streets ahead. It is significantly better than Teams.
Yeah, Microsoft really got caught with their britches down, so to speak, when the lockdowns happened, because they were not prepared with a service that could really compete in the way Zoom has. And while Zoom had some issues at the beginning of lockdown, man, they were pretty nimble, and they started addressing stuff immediately and really stepped up. And so much so that now when people talk about doing an online chat, they'll use Zoom as a verb in the same way people use Photoshop as a verb for image editing.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
Didn't Teams have an outage last week, though?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me because it's a Microsoft product.
Probably, yes.
It's Microsoft, yeah. More
they did. I'm pretty sure I listened to the news show, and it was out for a few days.
Based on
at
Sky
least
Pro.
For 2 days.
When I do my training classes, I run them over Zoom. Well, we use a product called RingCentral, and that all they do is they buy a license from Zoom to use a Zoom video meetings chat, and that's seamless for me. The people who I do the training for would rather I use their thing they pay for, which is utter rubbish, which is Adobe Connect, which still exists for those of you who've ever used it. It's utter bollocks, really is. I mean, if you want bad, then Adobe Connect is by far one of the worst school experiences I've had. And now I've had a chance to use that thing I was talking about the other week, the open board, in anger. That was brilliant. In conjunction with Zoom, that was a really good experience for teaching. I've got another class next week to do, and I'll be using that again. That was
so.
Really
what's I didn't listen to that show, and I need to. Open Board is just briefly.
Is Open Board is just a piece of software that's used for classroom presentation.
So it's like a whiteboard, is it?
And so it's got an interactive whiteboard built in. You can drag and drop things like. I mean, one thing I really sort of found handy was things like clocks. So I've got people logging in from across Europe on my classes. So I teach in EMEA. And so I dragged the clock on the screen and a little notepad to say what bits of pages they need to be on for going to do labs or when they're and when we're having breaks. I'll throw a clock on so I can show what time it is where I am and say we'll meet in an hour. It's clear for everybody then. It's really, really great.
All right, so that's Microsoft only though. It's not Mac.
No, that's not. That's anything. It's
Open Board.
It's Open Board. Openboard.ch. It's available on Mac, Windows and Linux.
Oh right, okay.
It's completely developed by a set of Swiss teachers.
Oh excellent.
Nice. The other week and I've had a proper chance to use it in anger. I was really, really impressed. Windows, Mac and Linux.
That's really excellent. Yeah, I like that.
It's worth a play.
Yeah, good. Which story are you planning on having, Muller, by the way?
Just go up to the Computer Weekly one because the other two, Grancy had my first one and Jeff had me back up.
Patrice is being very, very, very gentle with
has
you.
Has he got?
No, he's
got that.
I haven't decided which one I want to go with.
No, he's Patrice is being very kind to you and holding off so she can go at the end. Then go on, then Muller, take us through your story.
It's a story I had as a backup last week. Do you remember about 12 months ago there was a lot of raids in the EU and in the UK and these criminals were using encrypted phones and they managed to crack them? Well, the company that supplied those phones was a Canadian company, and now the US has decided to issue warrants for them and to have them arrested because their network was obviously designed to be used by nefarious people for nefarious uses. And they were also apparently the phones could also be remotely wiped by the company as well. But that's part of the warrant. So it's going to be a very interesting thing. But, you know, these phones were encrypted. And the thing is, the criminals thought they were unbreakable. Unfortunately, nothing's unbreakable these days.
Well, this raises the old question that we had when we were doing the San Bernardino shooting iPhone thing about whether the back doors are legit or whether police have got right of access under warrant.
From my memory, these were cracked by the agencies, the different agencies. I think it doesn't mention it in the story. I'm pretty sure GCHQ were involved in cracking them. Seven Eyes or whatever they call it. Is it Seven Eyes? The US, UK, Australia, Five Eyes. I'm pretty sure they were involved in breaking it. They had all sorts of stuff and they basically brute forced it. But I don't know, and I'm not going to say, are they, unless they have to.
Back in the day, when BlackBerry could do all of that, 10 years ago. Yeah. 10 years ago. I mean, this comes back to the point at which I found myself talking to a bloke called Ewan Rankin and saying to him, "You're talking bollocks, mate. Let me come and tell you really what it's about."
Go on, what was it? See, that's a totally believable story, because I would talk bollocks. But what was the story? Remind us then. The BlackBerry did what?
I remember, but... But I can't remember from them, but the point I was going to make was that BlackBerry had all that technology years ago, and they never did release their codes. They would never release the backdoor to their encryption, because they were end-to-end encrypted even back in like I said, 10 years ago.
Well, go back to 20 years ago.
If you go right back to the black and white ones, they've been encrypted for years.
Go back to Enron. And after Enron, there was Sarbanes-Oxley, which was the commission for due diligence to stop things like Enron happening again. And every company went straight over to BlackBerry because it was the only one that would pass the Sarbanes-Oxley criteria for email. Off computer email.
I don't know whether they ever did.
Yeah, but these phones aren't like BlackBerry. I mean, BlackBerry's end-to-end, but these were actually encrypted properly. I mean, they were supposed to be, even the phone calls were encrypted. So somehow they broke it.
Yeah. It's basically what kind of on a level what governments would be using, like for like encrypted phone calls.
Yeah, we used to have a system, I'm trying to remember its name now, that was VHF. And that was encrypted. Mm. And if you left your car unattended and somebody stole the police vehicle, you'd be in an awful lot of problems. Because it was military grade at the time. It's not now. It's not in use. But at the time, it was you were in a lot of trouble.
I mean, the police used to use BlackBerry. They moved on to... I think BlackBerry bought the company, though. It's called Good. It was called Good Encryption. It was like a sandboxed app. I tried to find it a while ago for someone. We were talking about this, and I couldn't find it again. I think it disappeared. It could well have been swallowed up into BlackBerry. I think they bought it. But it's it was a tool called Good or Good Encryption. Basically, one of these kind of like a swear, one of those kind of like encrypted apps where you sandbox all the applications for your business inside this encrypted bucket, and then calls, everything, messages, all exist inside their documents, and that sort of stuff.
Well, current police radios are encrypted.
Yeah, well,
you can't. Well, they never used to be, did they? Not the. No. I mean, we're talking all police transmissions now. I mean, I think the radio system's due to change again soon. I mean, current ones based loosely on mobile phones, but they set up a connection and then they encrypt it. So if you haven't got there are several layers of encryption, though, from my memory from my training course. There was five or six layers, but there were several layers that were not allowed for normal police officers. They were used for the nuclear police, you know, the police that died the you know, the nuclear sites. So also ones for diplomatic protection. So there were several layers which were definitely guarded further down. But
yeah, I mean, but I think
you've used to be not encrypted at all. I mean, that's why in all those movies, like, anybody could listen to the police scanner, because like the only protection was that it was a frequency that nobody else was supposed to use.
Yeah, you got told off.
Well, you could listen to them now, but they'll make no sense. They'll be sort of screaming numbers. But as I said, the radios now can be encrypted, and you can actually be given different layers of access. Because when I was working in another department, my terminal was actually given another layer of access. And then one day, somebody was trying to talk to me, and I couldn't understand them. And they got really annoyed and phoned me up and gave me a load of Fs and said, my terminal doesn't have that capability, so you should have gone to another channel.
But going back to the story that you raised here, Muller, rather than going off down some flighty path about encryption from 1975, thought I'd bring it back. The thing is, if you read further down on that story, there is clear intent within this to create deviant paths whereby security services, etc., would be bypassed. So this is not just a story about the encryption itself. It is a story about executives who were purposely looking to create a situation whereby they thought they could not be tracked for the purposes of doing something devious. So that's why it's such a...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not just a debate about encryption. It's about an intent to commit a crime and cover it up.
Well, these phones were sold for the sole purposes of being used for criminal activity.
Yes, exactly. Because it says here, there's a bit about the company is accused of generating profits, $100 million. They're also accused of remotely deleting the contents of mobiles and phones that were suspended. And the people who worked on it were adopting an ask-nothing, do-nothing approach where clients would be able to plausibly deny the knowledge of their clients' illegal activities. And they would only interact with their names,
that's a smart move.
Emails, or nicknames rather than the client's real names. I mean, that's intentionally fraud, surely.
Oh, absolutely. But still, that was a smart move, because you need to create some level of plausible deniability and being able to say, look, we just didn't know.
Not sure that's going to work, but
no.
Nice try.
Nice try. Well, clearly, it didn't work, because we're having this discussion right now.
Well, the fact that it was cracked by the French and the Belgians, and I think it was the Five Eyes that actually cracked it. I don't think the story is completely true, because I vaguely remember I brought this story up when it first cracked off, and I'm pretty sure it was GCHQ. Were one of the main people that cracked it. And the thing is, if they've traced it back to the servers in Canada, I'm pretty sure the Americans, we all know the Americans get overzealous with this kind of thing. So,
well, that's the other problem, because you've got clear differentiation on national borders over this as well as. So there's a lot of nefarious stuff that's taking place. There's prosecutions in California for activities in Canada, which you think, well, actually, if you're not going to bend the truth, or make a kangaroo court, some of these are going to get thrown out pretty swiftly.
I'm pretty sure Canada and the US and the UK will be cooperating with this.
I'm sure they're cooperating, but it depends what the law does, doesn't it, and what the law says, not what you want it to say, because of the fact one person was doing one thing illegal in one country and not illegal in another territory. If the illegal act is committed in Canada, you can't prosecute it in California.
Well, you can still be arrested in California and then deported or like sent to Canada for prosecution.
Only if Canada wants to prosecute you. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, sure.
If Canada doesn't identify a plausibility of prosecution, Canada, you know, for an offence committed in Canada, California is going to have the case thrown out fairly swiftly, I would have thought. Mm. This is a massively complex case.
Actually, physically using the phone is an offence if you're using it for nefarious attitudes. So they've actually committed offences probably in America the EU, I'm sure the UK, not... and whatever else they've been used, and possibly even in Canada as well. So where the servers are is irrelevant, really. I presume they've got servers.
The data's got to go through cellular networks or networks in the local area, but that doesn't necessarily commit the offence.
Well, they've used telephone communications in several countries to get there.
It doesn't mean it's necessarily illegal in the state where the phone call was made. It there might be nothing to hold water. Jeff, you were going to make a point there.
Okay. Yeah. Here's my assumption with this. You have multiple agencies in multiple countries that are working this case in tandem, and they are cooperating with each other. So when it comes time to arrest and detain and then prosecute, the different agencies will decide, where do we have the highest likelihood of being able to make a case stick and get a conviction? And then that's where we start. And so it could be that their plan was, all right, so we start in the United States because that's where we'll be able to get them into the system. And then we work for a conviction there. Or it could be that's the easiest place to get them into the system. But once they're there, now we can extradite to the country where we can get the highest penalty. And
it's not drug related, so it's not the highest.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, so they're gonna have to send them somewhere else.
Work
together and then send the people where you want them, so that you can hammer them as hard as you possibly can in the legal system.
Patrice, it is drug related. They were being used by drug dealers. They were being used by all sorts of criminals. So it is drug related. So the Americans will punish them extremely heavily.
I don't know that it's that. I think you're boiling that down a bit simplistically.
Yeah.
It is a bit simplistic because I don't think we're going to. I don't think.
Do you know
we're
why it's simplistic?
Exactly how they've done it, because shall we say that I don't think they want the criminals to know how we've done it.
It's simplistic because not one of us have got a frigging clue what we're talking about.
That's true.
That's us. Hey, now in this article, it says that it was illegal drugs, but it doesn't say what kind of illegal drugs. So in the United States, that could be legit prescription drugs coming from somewhere else.
We're talking about Class A and B drugs further down, plus guns, luxury cars.
Oh, yeah, well, guns, yet again, that's another big one in the US, isn't it?
Yes, as soon as you get guns involved in something like that, ironically, that becomes a big issue in the United States.
Ironically.
Yeah, well, I mean,
the only nation in the world where the cars are registered and the guns aren't.
Yes. And, yep. And where it's easier to buy a gun than it is to vote, and and where you can go to your local convenience store, buy a gallon of milk and a pistol.
Yeah, but you can't get health care.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
I'm not surprised the amount of guns there are out there. We cost a fortune. We're not going to get gun hate. No, I'm not getting gun hate emails. Don't give us gun hate emails. You're perfectly entitled to your gun. I'm fine with that.
Interesting observation was I saw there was at one point there was various banks and car dealerships were giving guns as a freebie to go along with your purchase.
You open a bank account and put a certain amount of money in, and then you get, like, a couple of days later, you can get a gun.
Buy 1,000 rounds, get a gun free with it use it.
Totally.
There are little stores in some states, like in Missouri, where you walk into this little store, and on one side down the wall, it's the liquor store. Turn around 180 degrees, you're facing the other wall, and it's the gun store. It's the same store. So you can go in and buy your Jack Daniels and your gun at the same time.
Oh,
that's great.
With only ID, and it doesn't get registered.
Right, yeah, show your ID to buy the alcohol, and
gun and gun, take it. I also like what Batwin said. She asked whether the carriers would be an accomplice in it, and I said no, because if you're rich or a big company, it doesn't matter in the US. There's the a law lot doesn't matter.
That idea of I don't want to get into gun ownership in America and the debate over it, but the one thing that did strike me, I've spent a lot of time lying flat on my back watching Discovery Channel and History Channel the last few weeks, and I've watched a load of Fast and Loud, and that's a program about a guy who goes out and buys cars, and the one thing he's obsessed with is getting the ownership transferred over. Have you got the title? Yes, let's sign it over. And getting ownership of the vehicle legitimately, because otherwise, if he doesn't register and trade that through his business, he's screwed because he can't offload it. Yeah, it's potentially stolen material. He has to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. So he's getting this registration constantly over all the vehicles that he does. And there's no requirement to register certain guns. That blows my mind. Just blows my mind. But don't send me emails saying I'm a gun hater. I'm not a gun hater. I own a gun. But I have to register it. That's all. Patrice. Girl, it's your turn, mate.
Oh, my story. Yes. So I decided to go spacey instead of YouTube. The European Space Agency is concerned.
Yet another story we're going to talk about viciously with no knowledge whatsoever.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're concerned with the dominance of SpaceX because, well, they got nothing to compete with that. It's very easy. They've actually just commissioned, they spend about $600,000 each for three companies, Ariane Group, Avio, and Rocket Factory Augsburg, to study the competitive launch systems from 2030 onward. So they're basically looking at what they might maybe build in 10 years. They haven't even finished the current Ariane, what is it, 6, I think?
Yeah, 6.
Yeah, Ariane 6 and Vega C boosters. And they're looking ahead and they're thinking about, yeah, what can we do? Like, how can we compete with the changed market? Because, SpaceX has significantly changed the game. Kind of like what the US is dealing with. Where, like, they have SLS, but it's kind of...
Just it's paragraph. Expensive, paragraph.
It's late, and nobody needs it.
Paragraph one of that entire story just spells out the inadequacy. So, basically, the agency has provided $600,000 each to three companies to study a competitive launch system. $600,000 doesn't buy you the lunch. Why are we behind Elon Musk? Because you spent $600,000 on the entire frigging program initiative to get it started, and that's what he found down the back of the sofa last night.
Yeah, it's also, I mean, it's a bureaucratic approach. Like SpaceX just says, okay, we need a bigger rocket. Okay, let's build it. Done. Like, that's the whole that's the whole investigation they do. And they say, okay, let's build it. Let's start. They're spending, what is that, $1.8 million to figure out what they might maybe need to do.
In 10 years, to, oh, in 8 years' time.
In 10 years' time, yeah. It's like...
Yeah, I mean, the European space program is a bit frustrating because we had some golden years really through the 80s and 90s. The Ariane program was great, really good for launching satellites, etc. We never did an awful lot of manned. Did we do any manned launches with Ariane?
I don't think so, no.
It's always been commercial, hasn't it? So it's like, did it just kind of find its niche market and then stagnate a little bit?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
I would say so. I mean, we've sent people to space, but always through either the American or the Russian systems.
Yeah.
Like I think there might be someone from ESA in space right now. But yeah, we've never, like, that was kind of how far it went, and then after that it was nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, to be fair, SpaceX and to some extent the other commercial partners, they have changed the game quite a bit.
I mean, like, the other thing is with America, the geography.
NASA and the US are struggling with it. So,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, NASA wants to put people on the moon by 2024, which is crazy optimistic.
Yeah.
And, Elon Musk, I mean, with as nimble as he can be with SpaceX, he could throw someone up on the moon in a year or two. It probably wouldn't be horribly safe, but, you know, he could do it.
Yeah. I mean, he would promise that he put someone on the moon in a year or two, and then it would take four. But that's still fast.
Who says there wasn't?
Still, fast. Still faster than everything else.
Who says there wasn't a bloke in that Starman suit? No one checked.
Yeah, I wonder who he didn't like.
Exactly.
That ended up getting a one-way ticket to a big solar orbit.
He accidentally killed someone. You said, no, this is not true, by the way, before anyone else. I just need to push that straight away. But, you know, he accidentally killed someone, and like the rest of us, we'd be hunting around for a shovel to put him under the patio, but no. Elon can stick him in a car and say, look at this, and put him, hide the book in the library straight away, can't he?
Mm-hmm.
not that Elon Musk would ever kill anyone, and not that he has killed anyone. And that was just pure joke.
There's nothing from preventing him from saying, I wish I never had to see that person again.
Yeah, but that even Elon Musk probably just means, listen, you're fired. It's not. It's
that, yeah.
He's not a Bond villain yet.
Well, fired.
He's got all of his all of the SpaceX boardroom is just a set of chutes down to a shark tank.
Yeah, I mean, it is a big problem for Europe though, because let's say BTN has a satellite. We want to shoot up, like, I don't know what we want to do with it, to spy on Mueller. where would we go? I mean, if SpaceX is significantly cheaper than the European, like, Ariane system, like, we would obviously, like, why would we pay 10 times as much to get the same service? That makes no sense. So it is a commercial issue for the European Space Agency.
And we could get our Mueller probe in orbit faster through SpaceX, because they have faster turnaround. And so we'd be able to get scheduled much earlier.
Mate, they could get a chimp to use mute faster than they could get Mueller to use it.
maybe that's our satellite. It's a satellite.
Have you seen in the chat room the cool thing from Jeff? This is Mueller's cool thing, and it's a video and audio mute system.
It plugs into the USB port on your computer.
For Windows only.
The button.
There you go. Jesus Christ.
We need to get Mueller a quieter keyboard too, and from the sound, I'm assuming it's just two fingers.
Yeah, it's two fingers.
Yeah, it's the NATO system.
It's actually the quietest keyboard you can buy. It's just the pressure that he's using on it makes it the noisiest.
He runs through one a week.
Yeah, because he sticks them in the dishwasher as well, doesn't he? Will you oil that frigging chair, boy? God, it's good to be back.
Oh my gosh.
This podcast and all the others is brought to you by TSO Host. They really look after us. Who would listen to this shit otherwise? We get two massive servers often. That means that we can host loads and loads of bandwidth, and we don't pay anything for it, and they keep us afloat. They're absolutely brilliant. Please support them if you can. Now, you're sitting thinking, okay, do I need to buy stuff? If you want to buy stuff from them, that's fine. All your hosting products, BTN20 gets you 20% off them, and there's loads of stuff out there, and they've launched an e-commerce thing this week, which is really exciting, which starts at £15. It's really, really good. So get over there and sort yourself out if you really do want any hosting stuff. But what they actually want from you is to get out on the socials and give them recognition. So please, if you are a BTN listener, it is your duty as a BTN listener to get out there and type on the socials, thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech. And that's what Muller's doing right now as he clickety-clacks over what I'm saying. Thank you, Muller. That's great. That sound effect will drive no end of people subconsciously to doing that, I'm sure. Also, IMN Max, they're a fantastic supporter of us. We finished the competition there. We have some winners, thank you. Three winners have been picked. They'll be getting an email off me in the next couple of days telling them
you that they've won. Did that happen before or after the last time I told people to sign up?
No, that's happened today.
Anyone
who's written, anyone who sent an entry.
I was kind of thinking about that today.
Yeah, no, anyone who's sent an entry. They're good.
You might end the competition now they cease back.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I looked this morning and we got an entry in, I think, the day before yesterday. So we got the last entry in. So that's the dribble has now stopped. So I've decided that's it. So I'll cut it off. I picked three winners and they're going to get an email. Thanks to everyone who entered. That was lovely. It was great. And the answers were Francis is the lady who works there. And then you got Joe and Callum, who you well know from the Mac Show. And then Mo, of course, who's one of the other owners. Now, what do? They fix anything with an Apple logo, plain and simple. If you've got anything at all which needs to be repaired, get it to them. Send them an email. There's a booking form at /booking, I think. And then you get your thing booked in. They will send you a thing to send it to them. And then if they can't fix it, they'll send it back to you. So there's loads there. They'll give you a quote. And if you've got any old gear that you want to get rid of, an old iPhone or something like that, there's loads of components that are useful for them. So they'll give you money for that too. And again, just package it up, send it to them, and then they'll give you a price. And if you accept the price, the money will be in your account within a couple of hours. Mully, you've got a bit of a testimonial, haven't you, for iMin Max? Because you took your Mac Mini in for an SSD?
Yeah, yeah. In 2014, it used to take about 10 minutes to boot. It now takes about 20 seconds. It's quick, it's responsive, and I've fallen in love with it again. I've attached a few external hard drives, so I only gave them a small SSD to put in. But it's brilliant, yeah. It took a few days to get it back, but I got a phone call.
COVID stuff,
and they said, come and get it, and I went.
Yeah, no.
It was brilliant.
New lease of life for your computer, a bit more RAM, bit of an SSD, and ask them for that, they'll give you a quote, and you won't look back. Makes a complete difference. Time for the cool thing then. Mr. Grant, start us off.
I haven't got anything that's actually a buying cool thing, but was my backup story if someone had nicked it, was the new £50 note comes out in June the 23rd, and it's got Alan Turing on it. That's a cool thing.
The only note that no one will ever accept in the entire country is put one of our greatest computing heroes on. That is a travesty.
But it's got Turing on it.
Someone bought an iPad off me, Martin Kelly. I won't shame him, Martin Kelly, because it wouldn't be fair on him, Martin Kelly. And he came here and he paid me in £50 notes. And I went to the bank and I thought I was going to get a frigging enema, a cavity search to try and get £50 notes into the bank. Good God.
They're the most forged note around.
Well, yeah, because no one ever sees them outside of London.
No.
I'd put Alan Turing on the frigging £20 note, the most commonly used note, because the bloke deserves real exposure. It doesn't need to be hidden away on a £50 note.
No,
I'm going to find it. There's got to be a petition out there. I'm going to sign it.
You have a look.
Alan Shearer, says Alan Patrick. Shearer, I have no idea what that is.
Father of computing is why we're here.
But let's face it, the way things are going, we're not going to use cash anyway. I mean, I don't think I've been to the bank and took cash out in ages.
No.
I've used real money for weeks.
Because I went to the farmer's market here and they don't do cards.
Yeah, we've got a nice place by us, Couch Potato. Hello, Ash. He does lovely veg at the Link in Water Orton every Saturday and Sunday morning, and he's cash only. But yeah, they are trying to get rid of cash. That's true.
There was a couple of places by me that wouldn't accept cash. They were.
No, there's a lot of places in COVID wouldn't accept cash because of the contamination issue. Turing with a G on the end, mate.
Yeah.
Batwinch wants to challenge that with the Babbage, but she can stuff off.
Linda Lovelace, then.
Jeffrey, what have you got for us, mate?
I have a new Lego set that's coming out on April 1st.
And
holy crap, is this cool. It's a Space Shuttle Discovery, and it includes the Hubble telescope that you can fit into its storage bay. This thing is like over 2,300 pieces. I did the math. It comes in at 8 cents a brick, so really good deal. And it has retractable landing gear. You can open up where the cockpit area is and see both levels and it has the robotic arm inside it, and you know, so yay Canada for that. And the wing flaps actually move, and it's, oh my god, this thing is so cool. So $199, and
that's all right, actually.
It is stunningly cool, and it's available April 1st.
Oh yeah, righto.
Oh right, it's not existing.
No, it's actually legit. It's actually legit. Even though the release date is April 1st, I wish they had picked a different date. Although actually, this could make it a lot easier for me to get it, because a lot of people might think it's a joke release.
No, but, that's pretty awesome, no, mate. That's good. That's really cool. I like that.
It is really cool.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
and it even comes with stands so that you can display the space shuttle and the Hubble telescope separately, or put them together so it looks like the space shuttle is pulling the telescope out of the cargo bay. It is fracking cool.
That is cool. Yeah, it's well really done, mate. Good pick. I like that. And I'm still torn on getting the Saturn V. I really want to get the Saturn V.
Oh, it is an amazingly wonderful build.
Yeah. Have you got it?
I do.
And it's a good build.
It is. Would you like to see the completed model? I just have to go over to the shelf and pull it off and show it
yes,
to you.
Yes, right. I want to know, have you got the Chinese compatible launch rig that goes with it?
I did not get that. I saw it, but I did not
you
get it.
You can still get that. It's not a done deal. Yeah, go get it. Go get it. Yeah. We'll wait.
I'll be right back.
He's got to pull it off. If we get the shuttle, we can have a shuttle off with Backwench building it. See if she can build it.
On AliExpress, yeah, a lot of these kits, which is terrible, but I've got 18 van to build actually at some point.
Now this thing.
Well, Jeff could have one, and Backwench could have one, and we can see who finishes first.
This thing's about a meter long. It's no...
Yes, it's about a meter long. And, hold on, I knocked one of the fins off. Okay, there we go.
Whoa, that was cool.
That's massive.
Oh, that's 6 inches.
So, yeah, I actually have to move it up through the scene.
Oh, that's really cool.
It's that
awesome.
Big.
Oh, that's nice.
Beautiful engines on the back.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, now the Chinese do a Lego set in inverted commas. That is a one-to-one launch frame for that, and it sits 200 millimeters taller than the rocket.
It's pretty cool.
It's got retractable arms and everything.
This gets better. It has all the stages.
Yeah.
So you have... Yeah. And I'm running out of hand, so let me set down my now...
you're close to running out of eyes there for a second.
Good thing you were also glasses. Includes the limb.
Yeah. Oh,
and it's designed so that let's pop that off. There we go. It comes apart.
Yeah.
And you know the capsule that you saw, the actual Apollo capsule, it was white. But that's only because the escape shroud is on it with the escape tower. So it also includes the CSM without the escape shroud on it. And, you know, and it's designed so that you can attach the LEM.
Oh, good.
This is just... a really cool and really beautiful build.
I like that.
It sounds nice. Oh,
I think
it was a very fun build. There's some really cool techniques in it.
It's a cheap model actually as well. It's $119 compared to
yeah. Yeah, it definitely comes in below the 10 cents a brick.
Yeah, $109 quids in real money.
Patrick wants to know how long it took to build. It took me, I worked on like a stage a day, just simply because I didn't want to burn myself out trying to build the whole thing at once. So, and I wasn't rushing just because I was enjoying each section so much. So it took me, I built the whole thing over the course of like 4 days, I think.
Yeah, no, that's good. I like that. Yeah. Patrice, what have you got for us, girl?
This week I have a hard time finding something. I'm definitely not going to pick For All Mankind, even though we've talked about space, because I haven't even bothered watching last week's episode. It's like... I'm gonna pick a new movie that came out recently. It's Coming to America. Reviews are mixed, I want to say. Some people like it, some it's people shit. Hate it. I found it, I mean, it should have been Coming to Zamunda, would have been better. It was an enjoyable movie for what it was. The CGI was crap. Like, you could, I mean, I understand that it didn't have real animals or anything. The CGI was crap. Like, you could tell it was crap.
So just to be clear, this, is your cool thing.
I liked it. I liked the actors. I liked seeing them again. It was kind of like dropping in on the family again after 30 years. So it was okay. Like, if you have like a Saturday afternoon, nothing to do, sit down, watch a movie, it's good for that.
Okay. No, it's not, but okay. No, I think Wesley Snipes is probably one of the best actors in it. He steals the show. He's really, really good in his role. But the rest is just, oh, come on, telegraph some jokes, man. If you're buying it, don't. Muller.
It's on Prime. So.
Yeah, get it on Prime. Don't buy it. Muller, what's your cool thing, dude?
I stuck it in the...
It's a mute button for video chats.
I bought this. It's to clean my spectacles and anything else, actually. Watches, jewellery.
Ultrasonic-y thing.
Yeah, I've got one. It's really good.
Yeah, it's okay. I've only had it a few days, but I've cleaned my specs in it a few times. It's quite a cheap one. I had a look online, and there's absolutely loads. You can spend lots of money on these things. But this one was, how much did I pay? 30, 40 quid, something like that? Not even that, I don't think. I may look how much, but according to that, 35 quid minus the 5%. It's not massive inside. It's big enough to put a watch or your spectacles. And takes about 3 minutes. You can do multiple sessions if you want. I've just been using washing liquid in it. Because I read online, you can buy the special liquids and that.
Yeah.
Lots of people are saying it's just as easy to use a little bit detergent.
The stuff to buy is called amethyst. I've got some for mine, and that's really, really good. I found it really, really good. A little bit of warm water as well. Because when I clean, I fiddle around and restore watches. And when you get sort of stuff from eBay with these really grossy bracelets, and you drop it in there with a bit of warm water and some of this amethyst, you don't want to know what's in the bottom of that, but in the bottom of the container once it's finished its cleaning cycle. Yeah. It's grim. But boy, does even the little cheapy ones work.
No, excellent. Good one. I did toy with the idea of my pill packet as my cool thing. And this is really sad. You tell you're getting old, right? Probably... So I've been on so many pills each day that I've got one of those little things that give, oh, it's yellow, so it's not worked, but it's you get little separate compartments and you can put the pills for morning, noon, afternoon and bedtime in there, and you get 7 of them labeled up each day, and Sharon has taken the piss out of me mercilessly over the fact that I'm using this. But I've got to say, out of all the things I bought off Amazon this year, I've probably used that more than anything else. But I'm going to go for, and this is going to sound like a real sad old man one as well, because it's a bedridden thing, but it's not. It's an adjustable portable laptop bed table. Now, I did buy this on the premise that I would probably have to do some work at some point, and I was going to try and do it in bed because I couldn't stand up. But then I ended up in hospital, so it never got used. But now what I'm doing is I'm using it on the dining room table, because I've got a nice chair there that I can sit in comfortably. And... instead of having it as the desk surface for my laptop and mouse, I've just got my laptop on it. So actually, it's got the laptop up at eye height with an external keyboard, and it's perfect for sitting there and keeping the thing high up. And it's really nice for Zoom calls as well, because it puts the camera up at eye level. It's absolutely perfect. It's got a tilty little thing, and you can adjust the height on it, and it's got a mouse thing to the side, which works with the mouse brilliantly. You don't get any of those scrolly issues from shiny surfaces that you can sometimes get. And it cost me the grand total of $16.99. It's the cheapest thing I've ever bought, and it is just brilliant.
Ewan, can you flip the thing around or switch the angle for the laptop so that you could use it left-handed as well?
I don't know. I haven't tried because I'm right-handed. I'll have a look when I get home.
What's that for your port?
Because that's really cool.
Yeah, and it's like I say, 17 quid. Just nothing. It's
you could probably put if you have a separate camera or something, you'd put it on the where the mouse is. Just put it on the side.
Yeah, no, but I think what you're saying, if you're left-handed and you want to use your mouse on the left, you need to be able to tilt the thing on the other side. It might swap over. I don't know. I haven't looked. I didn't even look when I bought
it. It's only got normal hinges on. You can probably just unscrew it and flip it all around.
That's true.
Yeah, that thing's just screwed onto the base, so you could undo the screws and flip it.
If the holes line up, you could just switch sides or spin it around.
Or you might just have to drill a few holes to switch it, if you're feeling that way.
Well, you drill a little pilot hole, and then it's probably self-tappers from that point, isn't it?
Yeah.
Here we go. Yeah, it's just self-tappers. You just have to...
Yeah, it looks like you have to...
Yeah, there we go. So the thing's got Phillips screwdriver through the top. Just flip it around, and you probably find actually that's equidistant, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they're smart.
Yeah. You could do. You might have to get your toolkit out, but it definitely can do it. Cool, Mr. Grant. Where can we get a hold of you?
I can get hold of me on LinkedIn as Ewan Grant. You can get hold of me in the Slack room as Tio Boa. Turn it back on again. I'll be here. I'll be here next week again, as always.
Excellent, mate. Thank you for coming along. Jeffrey, where would you be?
I'm Jay Gamut on Twitter and Instagram, and here on the Big Show, tomorrow on the Mac Show, Mac Voices Live pretty regularly now, and next week I'm doing an episode of In Touch with iOS, and sometimes I'm even in your chair.
You are, mate, and thank you so much for everything that you've done the last couple of weeks. It's really been awesome. And I'm going to have to impinge on your good nature for next Friday, because I've got to go take cameras in, so you're on Mac Show next week, if that's all right.
I think I can manage. I'll do my best.
Cheers. Patrice, where would you be, mate?
Well, every week here on The Big Show, and tomorrow, and every week on Friday on The Mac Show. Everything I do, all the social media links, you can find on thepatrice.com. And if you want to listen to a podcast I'm doing, it's The Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com.
Anyone coming up?
Mike Rose is actually coming up. I have first Tom Ferry's wife, and then Mike Rose is next.
All right, cool, excellent. And last, but my name is Lise Muller. Where would you be?
Muller Biker on Twitter. I'm in the Slack room. I'm on LinkedIn if you really care, but you probably don't.
We don't work.
That's about it, really.
I'm on LinkedIn's for people who work.
Well, yeah. I haven't worked for 12 months at the moment. I mean, God knows when I go back to Aston. I've probably forgot everything I know.
No, but you haven't worked because you don't need to work as well.
Oh, no. Don't need to work, no. But it's nice to have a little bit of a... little bit of a job, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Keep the mind active. Absolutely. Oh, boy. Mm. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech as well. Don't forget Kyle. He does the news show every single day. And if you'd like to donate to the network, then we've got a subscription where you can donate $5, $10 or $20 a month. And that pays for Kyle to do the daily show And we are running low on funds, so if you can help us out, that'd be really, really cool. And I'm back. It's good to be back. I really enjoyed tonight. I wasn't looking forward to it when I was really tired, but it just peps me up no end, so thank you. We'll see you all again tomorrow for the Mac Show. In the meantime, if you're not listening tomorrow, have a good weekend, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.